Pardue, what are you doing?
Going to join the Great Hall.
You can't. It's a trap.
I have spells. I'm going to fly.
You don't have enough points. I am the maze controller.
Maze controller?
Yes. And I have absolute authority in this game.
Game?
Game.
JJ, what am I doing here? Kate, why can't I remember?
You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Congratulations, sir. Your Krabby Patty pizza is here.
Wow, thanks. I've been dying for one of these. Where's my drink?
What drink?
My drink? My diet, Dr. Kelp? Don't tell me you forgot my drink!
But you didn't order any.
How am I supposed to eat this pizza without my drink?
Let's rock!
I saw the boys the other day.
Uh-huh.
O-Man, Stevie Baby, Baba Petatron.
Yeah, I remember the names of our childhood friends, Gary.
We had ourselves a little idea.
Did you know?
Yeah, we're going to go back to Newton Haven.
Why?
For some unfinished business.
That's a joke, right?
Five guys, 12 pubs, 50 pints.
60 pints.
Steady on, you kid Alky.
I haven't had a drink for 16 years, Gary.
You must be thirsty, then. But we can go back, see the guys, chew the fat, and it'll be just like it always was. Except this time, we are going to finish this thing once and for all.
You have a very selective memory, Gary.
Thanks.
You remember the Friday nights. I remember the Monday mornings.
Yeah, that's why we're going back on a Friday.
Why do you think none of us live in Newton Haven anymore?
I don't know.
Because it is a black hole. It's boring. It always was, and it always will be.
It's only boring because we're not there.
It's pointless arguing with you.
Exactly. So come. I'm picking everybody up from High Wycombe Station Friday, 3 o'clock, sharp.
No, Gary.
Oh, God, why, have you got to check with your missus?
No, actually, I don't have to check with my missus.
What are you doing?
I'm showing you the door.
Is it a door? I mean, it doesn't have a lintel, and it's glass. So is it a window, or is it a door? Maybe it's a window. Can I have that?
Please leave, Gary.
Take a wild guess.
Is there a problem?
I don't understand.
Here, let me get a picture while I'm at it.
You don't want the money?
No, you keep the money. You're going to need it.
Is this fellow bothering you?
I don't know. Am I bothering you?
Karen, I've got a whole board waiting in there. What the hell's going on? Who are you?
I'm Shiva, the god of death.
Yeah! Woohoo! Bunkers of dynamite! Everyone, it's time for Entertainment Landfill. Welcome to the show. The show where we talk about film, television, and pop culture. Every Friday. Well, every other Friday.
Well, maybe
every
not then.
Other Friday. But we're trying to get back on track, and We'll talk more about that in a bit, but first, I would like to welcome Steven, the Pop Culture Zillion.
Hey, Steven. What's happening?
Hello, Steven.
Hey there.
How's it going?
Fantastic.
We also have here Mulberry Bill. I had to do it for Bill because we always do it when you're not here. Play the crickets for Steven. Bill unfortunately can't be here. Maybe he'll show up later. Maybe he'll call in later. But right now he can't. And our condolences to him. He lost his dog Marvin. And I'm thinking about you right now, Bill. And I hope you feel better. You're with us here in spirit. And I wish you nothing but the best.
Sorry to hear about your.
Yeah, that's a tough thing. And
it is tough.
I wasn't sure if he's going to do the show or not, but I put some Mazes and Monsters in the opening because I thought it might cheer him up. I mean, nothing like Tom Hanks overacting, right?
JJ, what am I doing here?
Oh, what is he doing there, JJ?
I don't know if he remembers anything.
And I really like Chris Makepeace in there. You know, he's the maze controller.
You don't have enough points. I am the maze controller.
Yeah, some good dialogue. What did they think when they saw that script? They're like, maze controller? Holy shit.
I have absolute authority in this game.
Oh, okay. Good for you, buddy, Chris Makepeace. You know, Chris Makepeace, he's... Well, actually, he's not the bodyguard. Adam Baldwin is. But he needs a bodyguard, is what the deal is.
Now he's tough doing guarding the maze.
Yeah, where the hell is Chris Makepeace? That guy was a solid actor, man. Remember Meatballs?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Woody the Wabbit?
Woody. Woody the Wabbit. But, Bill, you're a bro, man. You're a guy. You're a brother from another mother. I can't believe I said that. But he knows he is, though. He's our co-host. He's one of the Mulberry boys, and we wish him nothing but the best. Oh. Wait, I know. I think I know I can get him here.
I have spells.
I have magic spells. Wait. I think Mazes and Monsters shows us we shouldn't really delve into that. What do you think?
I don't think so. Don't mess with the spells.
You can't. It's a trap.
Uh-huh. It's a trap, Steven. That's why. We knew better than that. But, guys...
Trick me.
Welcome to the show. You know, Steven and Steven, I saw you a lot recently. Usually, I haven't seen you in a while when we do the show. But last weekend, I couldn't get rid of you because I asked you to come with my family down to Houston to the Space Center.
Yes.
And
it was fun.
It was fun. It was a blast. The main thing about anything with trips and traveling, you're a pro at this now, but I get tired. Like,
oh, I get tired from traveling too.
Well, I mean, I you're used to sleeping in beds, in strange beds. I'm not. When I went to lay down, I was exhausted that night, and I was like, dude, I can't sleep. I'm so tired. Why can't I just go to sleep? I don't understand. Body, fall asleep. And I couldn't.
And there's Steve in the other room.
I mean, why couldn't I? But we had fun. You know, we drove down to Houston on a
Saturday.
A
lot of people that I travel with that their first night, you know, especially they've been traveling like I have for years and years, that they can't sleep the first night. The next day, they're just exhausted from
it. And then finally you pass out.
Yeah, you get so tired that you have to sleep.
I couldn't even tell you how many hours of sleep I got. I'm going to say I got 5 or something like that. But the next day...
Not me. I got plenty.
Well, see, Emma and Heather were... It was a trip for the Girl Scouts. And Heather was like, you should come down too. And you're going to have to drive by yourself, so invite Steven. And Heather ended up riding with us anyway. But we spent the Sunday at the Space Center, and it was pretty cool. The main thing was, you know, I got really tired and exhausted.
Yeah, driving can be more exhausting than you think.
Yeah, the thing that sucks is just having to get up. We had to get up early, like 2 days in a row. Like I was telling Heather, the weekends when you sleep late, none of this getting up at like 6 a.m. shit. Oh, man, because I get up at 5:50 on the weekdays. Because I have to get up, take a shower, then get Emma up, get Heather up. And so Saturdays, I'm like, I'm sleeping till 10, 11 or something like that. Or Sunday, sleep until noon, whatever. But last weekend, man, it was just like, oh man, I got to get up at 5:52. You know, so, that's probably why I was so tired. But it was fun. I love seeing all that cool space stuff.
And I told you exactly what would happen on that one photo you posted, me standing by the Galileo.
That's when we go, nerds. Yo, it's Bill. Nerds.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah. You know what?
But it was hilarious.
A weird thing happens to me when I'm around all that space stuff, all that NASA stuff. And tell me if there's something wrong with me for thinking this way. And I'm not sure what my problem is, but imagination, like in movies like Star Wars and stuff, or Star Trek, or any of that kind of stuff, it's so much cooler than our lame space stuff we have in real life. I mean, this stuff is neat that it was actually
in space. It's impressive that we can do it, but we're not as far along as the movies we watch.
It's impressive looking at it up close, but it's like, wow, look at us feeble humans, what we travel to space in. It's not impressive as in, dude, I want one of those and fly it around like the Millennium Falcon. It's not like that. It's more like, wow, that was in space. Like, when we
how did we not die doing this?
Yeah, they have Skylab there. Wasn't that what it was?
Right.
And you can walk. That was the most impressive thing. You can walk into Skylab. And it's big round thing. You can see the different little chambers where the bathroom is or the eating section. And the reason it's when you walk in.
What Skylab was, because Skylab is no more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. it's what's left of it. And you can walk inside. It's like on its side and you're walking in. They've built like a little walkway. And you can see where they ate, showered. You can see where the bathroom is and where
it's
they slept.
I don't want to be in space if this is the way it's going to be.
Yeah, but because it's like,
I want my artificial gravity.
What I like is they built it with gravity in mind, like the way you get to everything. Because, you know, there's no practical way to get to it. If there was gravity, it would be like, this is the stupidest design ever. But they designed it with no gravity in mind. But I thought that was pretty impressive. It was really cool seeing that. And it's just, I don't know what it is, but I'm just like, you know, this is cool, but man, Millennium Falcon's way cooler, dude. That's not real, Jason. Yes, it is. Don't say that.
In a galaxy far, far away, it is.
So shut up.
Hey, what the hell? So that was fun. I mean, it really was. I don't want to sound like a dick or anything. It was cool stuff. I mean, we traveled around and we saw the cool area where they do training.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I was confused about, you know, when we went into that one hangar where it was supposed to be the training area for capsules and stuff like that, I couldn't.
The modules for the International Space Station.
Yeah, it looked like people worked there and they had ropes, stuff roped off.
Uh-huh.
Does anyone really work there anymore, or do they just rope it off now for people to come?
They probably
visit?
Do when they're in training for missions.
So right now,
and
it's
if
just
it was, they were in training for missions, we wouldn't be allowed to go in there.
Right, right. So basically, right now it's just people can come in, and we're behind glass. But
yeah.
I'm wondering, do people really work down there or whatever? But yeah, that's cool. It's pretty.
Or
cool.
Or they might be over at the tank training underwater.
Mm-hmm. What did you think the coolest thing was? Is there anything you were impressed with? Because Skylab was probably what I was just like, dude, this is awesome. And I think it's because I saw the kitchen area, and I just am impressed by space kitchens, you know.
Let's see. Probably the favorite was going over through the by the vault area.
Oh yeah, where the moon rocks are.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
And the capsule that you could look inside.
That
and
was
hang
cool
in,
because
where it was real dark, and they had the real.
The moon
ethereal
buggy.
Music playing.
Yeah, the room is dark and they have like stars on the ceiling and stuff. That room was very cool.
I, you know, that's where the girls slept.
Yeah.
And I would have loved to sleep there with the music going.
Yeah.
It's like, just play the music. I can go to sleep with this.
Yeah, Heather said there was no like sound like that. I was like, that probably would have put me right to sleep. It's like.
And she said she slept over by one of the astronauts. I was like, did you keep looking to see if he moved?
Beep, beep, beep. But that was cool, like the moon buggy and all that stuff. That's pretty goo. Pretty goo.
And Spider-Knot.
Mm-hmm. The Spider-Knot robot. Does that thing really work, or is it just a concept?
It's probably a concept at this point.
Yeah. I wondered, like, have you ever, you know, they had a lot of moon mission stuff there. I was wondering, like, I knew a guy, I didn't really, he wasn't like my friend or anything, but was one of those, we never landed on the moon. It's all a scam. It's all bullshit.
Stanley Kubrick filmed it.
Yes, Stanley Kubrick filmed it. He's trying to tell us that in The Shining. But what do you think about that? Did we go to the moon or not?
Yeah, I think we did.
I do too. What the hell, man? You know what's funny, though? On the night we got back on a Sunday, that night Mad Men came on. The episode of Mad Men, you know, it takes place in the 60s. It was 1969. It was the day that they landed on the moon, and everyone was watching on TV. And I was like, whoa, that's so cool. We were just like
strange
checking
coincidence.
Out. Yeah, that was pretty cool stuff. Now, I wanted to announce that I finished the Lethal Weapon Nim movie mini. I'm really excited about it. And if people remember, we were talking about doing a holiday pack back in the day. But we're no longer going to do a holiday pack. I'm going to release it right on the feed for everyone to listen. But that doesn't mean we're not going to do something to raise funds for Entertainment Landfill. I'm going to launch a campaign next week. And I'm not going to talk a lot about it now because I want to get it launched first. You'd probably just be confused if the website doesn't actually exist yet, you know? So I'm just going to put it on the back burner and just let you know to look out.
It's a teaser for you.
Yeah, I'm teasing it that we are launching a campaign. Get ready to open those wallets and support Entertainment Landfill. But seriously, it's going to be very cool. It's very cool stuff. It's a lot like if you're familiar with Kickstarter, where people support a project and their rewards and tiers and stuff like that. So get excited. It's a project that I'm really excited about. Bill's excited about. I think Steven's excited about it. Steven, are you excited about it?
Yes. It's really cool.
My diet, Dr. Kelp? Don't tell me you forgot my drink!
That has nothing to do with anything.
I've supported a few Kickstarter programs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And
this isn't Kickstarter. Really, it's a lot like it.
I know. I'm just saying, but in that instance, when you receive something, which is really cool.
Yes. You want
plus,
to support,
it's also great that you're supporting somebody.
If you like our show, if you love listening to our show, hopefully you'll want to check this out. Hopefully you'll be interested in helping us out and you get something back, especially more Entertainment Landfill and us blowhards talking.
You'll just have to wait and see the rewards.
JJ, what am I doing here?
Oh, I'm sorry. He doesn't realize he's at Entertainment Landfill. But sorry, JJ. But keep an eye out for that. In fact, there's going to be a little thing on the front of the Lethal Weapon Nim Movie Mini telling you all about it. So it's going straight to the feed. And I was even thinking of releasing the Back to the Future Jaws Nim Movie Minis. That was from a holiday pack in 2012.
Right.
And people paid for that and they've listened to it a long time ago. But the general feed audience that didn't donate, I'm not sure why you didn't, but
because it was Christmas time and they didn't have money.
Right, right. And that's understandable. Basically, what
I'm
this
on your
is,
side, guys.
No, I understand. I'm just being a cheeky monkey. No, but basically, what I wanted to say is, I know the size of our audience. I see the numbers. There's a lot of people we never hear from, and that's okay. But you're the people I really want to get to and ask you to help us support our latest campaign. And I'm really excited about it. And we'll talk more about it on the next show also. But keep an eye out for it. And I hope I'm excited about it. And I hope you guys are excited about it too. Because it means a lot more content coming your way if you dig the show. You know what I'm saying?
I have spells. I'm going to fly.
Yes, I'm going to fly too. what?
I'm Shiva, the god of death.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Holy shiznit. All right, Stephen, we have some voicemail. Let's check out the voicemail. The first one is from Adam Sexton, a distant relative of Charlie Sexton, who sang the famous 80s song, Beat So Lonely. Am I right?
Yes.
I don't have any confirmation of that, but I assume that he is, and let's go ahead and just assume that.
Yes.
I'm sure he won't mind.
Hello, Entertainment Landfill crew. This is Adam Sexton. Wanted to send a voicemail for tonight's episode. Really enjoyed the last episode as well. First things first, I'm sorry for my the voicemail that I sent in. I don't think I was in the best of moods, or for some reason, or at least that's how it sounded when I listened to the episode finally.
No.
And I don't know why the sound dropped off at some particular point. I don't know. Blame Samsung or Verizon, or you can blame me. I guess that works just as well. It was great to hear Stephen back in the show, to hear his voice and the banter. And when he did the DVD jingle, I really smiled, although I hate to say it. But in Stephen's absence, TRS-80 has truly made that jingle her own, and I've become comfortable with it. So perhaps Stephen and TRS-80 can record a duet or something, or duke it out for whoever gets to sing it or
sing
not.
Off.
I have
no good ideas there. thank you for the words of encouragement and advice regarding recording my own podcast. I don't have any illusions of attaining any kind of popularity with it. In fact, I'd rather I didn't. And that's really one of the things that I loved about podcasts like yours. I mean, I'm sure you'd like more listeners, but in a way, your podcast hasn't been tarnished in any way by being high profile. I guess it keeps that little cult kind of appeal. Speaking
cult.
About the podcast that I talked about, I didn't say the name of it because, you know, the podcast isn't mine. I was just a guest, and since that episode was never posted, or any other episode has been posted since then, I didn't feel comfortable giving out the name in case the guy who is hosting and, you know, making the podcast, I didn't know if he really wanted to continue doing it or if he wanted to change the name. And I've talked with him about it since, and he said he would like to start up again, but I still don't know what his plans are. I guess if you really wanted to know the title, it's called the Triple Option, which is you know, kind of the same name as his own website where he talks about TV and video games and books. But
the Triple Option,
that's his decision, and I didn't feel comfortable, you know, disclosing the name. I guess that's just some weird suspicious thing on my part, but there you have it. I do plan to move ahead with my own podcast, I'm going to call it the Past and the Pending podcast. It will be a pop culture related podcast that covers, you know, all the mediums or formats like film, TV, video games, music, and books. And the idea is to pick an item from the past and something from the present or as recent as possible and talk about them, you know, hence the title. When it comes to my entertainment options, I'm always picking something old and something recent. And I plan to record the first episode within the next 2 weeks, and I'll probably start out with a solo episode and then add guests afterwards, and I'm hoping it turns out fine. Do you have any recommendations on a hosting website for the podcast? That's something I'm not particularly clear on where to go from there. Recently, I've seen X-Men Days of Future Past, and I really, really enjoyed it. It was as emotionally involving as Bryan Singer's previous X-Men films. The action scenes were cleverly shot, and all of the acting just right across the board was amazing. I like how it didn't even bother explaining certain things like Xavier still being alive in the future or how Kitty Pryde has the power to send people back in time. And speaking of which, I haven't read as much of the comics, so I'm not up to date on the lore. Did she ever have that power, or was it just made up for the film? And it really doesn't matter either way, but I'm just wondering where that came from. You know, like Back to the Future, it's not concerned with explaining anything time travel related, so it can focus more on character related matters, which is really in the end what really anyone should care about. Also, it's the best use of a Jim Croce song since Django Unchained. I apologize if I'm spelling his last name incorrectly. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts on the film, if anyone had seen it. I had recently finished the second season of Hannibal, and I'd like to know what you thought. I mean, it was like this fantastic, brutal, nightmarish cap to another excellent season. But I'm so glad that they renewed the show. I mean, I predicted that we were going to transition into Red Dragon plot setup for the third season, and clearly I was foolish for thinking that. but I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. I plan to be around for the live chat tonight for all of it, unlike last time where I napped for too long and missed half the show. Anyways, I'm sure you guys will turn out a great show as always. I'm hoping that the Harry Knowles reviews recap comes back this time, since that's always good for a laugh.
Oh, no.
Good luck, and I will speak to you later. See you later, guys.
All right, Adam. Thanks, man. Awesome.
Maybe he can interview his cousin there.
From Charlie Saxon. Woo-hoo! Yeah, I knew he was related. I'm dancing right now, Steven. This reminds me of that climactic part, Some Kind of Wonderful, where they're going to kick Eric Stoltz's ass. Right then, his buddies from Study Hall bust in. Remember that?
The Buzzhead dude.
Yeah, Elias Koteas.
Yeah.
That part was awesome. Now, Adam, Podbean is who we use. Podbean.com. They've got pretty reasonable rates. I went with them because they were really inexpensive. I'm a cheap bastard. No, but seriously, it adds up. If you're paying monthly, that shit adds up. But you can also, you can do where you pay for the entire year at once. So I get charged once a year. And in fact, that's coming up at the beginning of June, where all of a sudden I'll see the charge and go, damn it, where the hell did that come from? And go, oh, it's for the podcast. But I can't not pay it because all of our shows are uploaded there, and I would hate to have to start over again and like, okay, episode one, upload. Let's see. Okay, that'll be take about 20 minutes to upload. Well, luckily, internet's faster now. I am not caught up on Hannibal, Steven.
No? Oh, you didn't watch the final?
No.
Wow.
Okay, I'm going to, though.
Wow.
I'm just not caught up.
It
so.
Was awesome.
Okay, we're going to talk about X-Men next in the next segment. The best of luck to you, Adam, on your podcast. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I was asking him on the thing, your podcast. Yeah, I wanted to know the name of his. Do you remember what he said? It was something impending or something like that. But what I wanted to say, Adam, is that doing a solo podcast, that's going to be hard. I mean, some people are really good at it. It's called The Past and the Pending Podcast. I like that title. That's pretty cool. Talking about, when we do the NIMH movie minis, talking about something like Lethal Weapon, it's really cool. And I especially love doing movies where, like, I've seen Lethal Weapon, God, so many times.
Can't count, yeah.
Like, it's funny because I've memorized dialogue of it, and when we were doing it, and I would say the line, then play the actual movie and pull the clip from it, I'd realize that I'd get, like, dialogue wrong. I just, like, morphed it into something else over time, you know? I think I improved
it's like,
it, basically.
I'll do the dialogue of the jerk when I watch it.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, I've been at my parents' house and it's on, and I'll start watching it. And my mom's, how do you know all these lines?
I've seen it a lot.
I've seen it too many times. And not too many times. I love it.
You know, one thing that Bill and I have to deal with is the idea that are we reviewing the movie, or are we just like talking about a movie we love and just talking about.
You're not reviewing it. No,
yeah, yeah.
Because
we're just kind of reminiscing.
Yeah, you're reminiscing the movie.
And mainly we're talking about what doesn't work anymore. Or, like, when you first see a movie, there's a lot you don't notice because you are just watching it for the first time and you enjoy it. But when you watch a movie, say, 100 times, stuff that is really thin plot-wise just jumps out of you. You're like, yeah. Well, this doesn't make any sense right here.
They only did that to get here.
Yeah, yeah.
And that really doesn't make sense.
And I hate to feel like we're nitpicking, because we're not. We love the movie, but we're nitpicking now because we've seen it so many times. You know, like, if you ever heard our Goonies one, I'm like, none of this movie makes any sense. They're just kind of like all talking real loud and like ambling in one room to another. And but it doesn't mean I don't love the movie.
You know, well, I mean, it's like, does Jaws make sense?
Yes. That movie holds
yes,
up, though.
It's yeah. awesome.
Yes. That movie holds up. If anyone wants to hear our movie, NIMH Movie Mini with Steven and I did Jaws. Now, I want you, me, and Bill, you, and I to do a NIMH Movie Mini. I think that would be fun, but and stuff like that. But thank you, Adam. Best of luck with your podcast. And we have one more voicemail. This one from Rick. Rick from Down Under. Let's check it out. I'm sorry, Rick. I don't know why I said that.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Rick.
It's Rick again with another Rick voicemail. Get your Rick fix right now. classic Rick voicemail. Anyway, just another voicemail. Just sitting outside. Out the back, and got nothing to do, so I thought I'd shoot you guys a voicemail real quick. Can you hear the birds in the trees? Yeah, pretty great.
That sounds good.
I want to go hang out with you, Nick.
So hopefully you're doing a show this week. Yeah, I'm not holding my breath, but that'd be lovely, you know. It's always a bonus in the week when I get one. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a good day at work. Got myself some hours and hours of entertainment mulberry just in the bank, ready to go.
Heck yes, sir.
But, the show's been really good lately. Just don't stop the music, you know what they say? Anyway, so I don't really have much to say other than just the normal stuff. Give me something to watch, something weird, something interesting. I love watching new weird stuff, so any recommendations you could give me, and then next week I'll give you my thoughts.
Ooh.
Thanks, guys. You have a great show. I know you will. Kisses.
Thank you, Rick. You know what, Rick? I'm curious of what you thought of Edgar Wright's The World's End, the last of the Cornetto trilogy. And the reason I ask about that is because I just watched it again this weekend. I'd seen it in the theater when it came out, and I just finally saw it for a second time. And I very much enjoyed it. I read a lot of negative things from people. Where a lot of people were expecting it to be a lot funnier than it is. Or, you know, it's like it built up. Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and then this. There's a lot of expectations going into that. And I'm just curious what you thought of that, Rick. Because, you know, I really liked it. And I showed it for the first time to my wife. And she really liked it, too. But I said, do you think you'll watch this repeatedly, like Hot Fuzz, every time it's on? And she deadpan said, no, probably not. I mean, I liked it, but it's not the same like Hot Fuzz. I was like, it could be, though. You know, she has to watch it over and over again. You get familiar with things.
Right.
But I think the film is, it's got a very poignant, story to it, meaning to it, which is you got to let things go in a way. And God knows I've got to let a lot of things go. All the nostalgia and stuff. No, I can't. It defines me. Oh, sorry. See, I'm wrestling with myself. Man versus himself. Man versus nature, Steven. Mm-hmm. Oh, Adam, I just remembered you were asking about Kitty Pryde's powers. I believe her powers in the comic book are she can phase through things like a ghost. She can pass through solid objects. And I remember if she, like, passes through electronics, they'll, like, short out. She can walk through, like, a robot or Iron Man, and his suit will be like, I don't know about any kind of mind power type stuff. I have no idea if they made that up for the movie or if it was later on. I read the X-Men back in the 80s, you know, that was a long while ago, and
they could have added
changed.
A lot since then.
Yeah, they could have changed stuff. She could have discovered a lot of things about herself. You know, like going through puberty and stuff. I don't know what I'm talking about. All right, let's do entertainment. Woo!
That's how I just gotta be.
Ah, yeah. this. Boom goes the dynamite. Now, Steven, I do want to talk about X-Men, but we really should mention another movie that we saw since our last show. And here's a hint on what it is. Godzilla Jesus. Is that not a lot of a long roar? It's like, all right, I get it. You're pissed or something.
Yeah, two movies.
Yes, we saw Godzilla. Gojira. What did you think of Godzilla?
I think I think I read some other stuff about there was a lot of setup in the backstory, and which was fine by me. I didn't mind that. Because, I mean, going along and seeing, having seen it when I was young, and then the Matthew Broderick mess, which I still watch. It's fun. It's terrible.
It is terrible, yeah. This was a true Godzilla
movie. True Godzilla movie. Yeah. I don't know if I call that one Godzilla Matthew Broderick.
No, it's more like T-Rex.
Weird lizard.
With Velociraptor babies or whatever. Yeah, it was pretty bad. You know, we actually saw this with Tom Hanks from Aces and Monsters. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Like it, I remember!
He forgets easily.
But Bryan Cranston was amazing in it.
Yes, he was. He was good. You know, one thing that was distracting, though, is I knew for a fact he was wearing a wig because he has a bald head filming Breaking Bad probably at the time.
Right.
And you could tell he's wearing fake hair, couldn't you? I'd be like, I forgive it, but I know that's fake hair.
That's a wig, dude. Just go bald. No, then it's Breaking Bad, dude, in there.
Yeah, it's Walter White. Yeah. One thing that's interesting about the movie is the buildup. Like I said, I saw a lot of people really angry, or I don't know if they're angry. They were complaining about... Right. How the movie really deals with teasing. It teases right. you. It doesn't give you Godzilla for a long time, or it shows a moment of Godzilla and cuts away. And it's like, oh, come on, you know, like, what a cock tease, you know? It's like they want to see more Godzilla, but it waits till later to show it to you. Did that annoy you at all, or did you know they were just teasing?
No,
you?
I knew that. That's fine.
You're lying.
That didn't bother me at all, you know, because that's essentially what the movie is. You can't show a full hour and a half, 2 hours of Godzilla.
Mm-hmm,
then you're walking. Just like, ugh, too much.
He's walking across the land trying to get to the other monster. That's another thing. Okay, it made me think of Jaws. Jaws doesn't show you the shark for a long time.
Right.
It shows a fin, or it shows maybe a piece of it, like its head grabbing the guy in the water, or later on. Finally, when it pops its head out of the water, it's like, oh.
You see the boat gets bumped or something.
Yeah, in this day and age of movies, we're all spoiled rotten.
I want the suspense, and I didn't mind the suspense of that.
I didn't either. And, I mean, I genuinely had a good time. I love that, and I love the third act. But I just think moviedom, the audience, has... You know what? Screw people. I don't know. Everyone is expecting something, and they don't get it.
It's like, okay.
I don't know.
Are you of the same opinion? It's like, well, write a better one if you think you can.
Well, I mean, when I see a bad movie or a movie that's mediocre, I know it. I know it's not that great, and it's not just people complaining, nitpicking, or whatever. I was genuinely interested in Godzilla. I was on the edge of my seat most of the time. I didn't mind the teasing. And in fact, there's one where Godzilla starts to fight. Like, you think he's going to land a punch or something. And it cuts away to something else. And you can hear people kind of go like, "Ah!" like that. And I kind of laughed at that. I thought it was kind of funny that it's like, damn it, they're still not going to show us. I thought it was playful. And I didn't mind. Because it delivers.
Was it playful in the sense of that scene, just say in particular... Like, kind of referring back to the old man in the suit, you know, taking a swing like a person. And then they cut away so you don't really see that.
Right, right.
But, I mean, is it kind of an homage in a sense?
Yeah, and I didn't mind any of that. And I thought they were very creative in the way that what they did show and the build-up. And I like the other creatures. What were they called? Mutos? Muto or Muto?
Yeah.
Remember? There was Mutos. One and two. And I thought they were very interesting to look at. They were
a weird male and female.
Yeah, they had cool powers. You know?
One could fly, the other couldn't.
Yeah. And, I mean, I dug it. So, you know what's funny? It feels like I'm always defending movies. So anyway, let's talk about X-Men. Did you dig the X-Men?
Yeah. For a lot of the same reasons Adam liked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I dug it a lot. I thought it was really cool and suspenseful.
You're a dick.
And I thought, I mean, we finally got a real... one thing I kept thinking of as we were watching the film is that, man, they finally were watching a kick-ass X-Men movie. It's been so long. I think the last one I truly enjoyed was X2, the one with Nightcrawler.
Right.
And I dug all the future stuff and all the stuff in the past. I was really just eating that stuff up. I loved it all. The setup of Wolverine in the past. All that stuff was cool. I really liked mixing Wolverine and putting him with that cast from X-Men First Class. Now, I did like X-Men First Class a lot. Don't get me wrong. But I didn't think of it as, like, connected to the other X-Men films because it was set in the past. But Bryan Singer's back, and he's connecting it to that time. That's why I thought it was pretty badass, you know?
And then I like the sense that of Wolverine going back in the past and him kind of not, you know, thinking of, he's still kind of in the future when he does certain things.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and Quicksilver was awesome, wasn't he? I loved his character. That whole sequence with Quicksilver, that was worth it. That was worth it all. That was pretty cool. We got some Peter Dinklage in there.
Yes.
Steven, was he being used to his ability in the film?
I think he was.
Was he? I think so.
Not being used to my ability.
Oh. No. Maybe not. But, yeah, I really liked it, man. And I want Bill to see it so bad. I want to go see it again with Heather. And I got to check it out. I thought the 3D was cool. You know what's funny is in the very first X-Men, I think in the second one too, there's that whole traveling through the genetic code, like,
yeah,
you know, and all that stuff. This movie, you get to see that in 3D, and I thought it was pretty cool. Like, whoa, dude, I'm tripping, man, you know? Did you feel like that too?
Yeah, it was, even when he went to, when Xavier went to, where he's searching for the other guy, other mutants.
Mm-hmm. Cerebro?
Cerebro.
Yeah, sorry, that was really cool in 3D. That, you know, I'm just doing the sound effects. I sound like a buddy on Cake Boss when he does any kind of, like, you know, sounds. So, one thing, Steven, I wanted to ask you about Edge of Tomorrow, this new Tom Cruise movie that comes out. I know you're not a huge Tom Cruise fan. Would you be willing to go see that film, though? Sci-fi.
Yeah.
Fighting in a war type of space battle type of thing. I mean, I think it looks pretty cool.
I think it looks good.
Cool. Okay.
Well, like I said, he's been knocked off the top of the I don't want to see him in a movie.
Oh my God.
Hill.
Should we just cancel the show at this point with all this racket? Is my mic picking up the dog? Shut up! I'm doing a show. Good God. We need a soundproof room, Steven. Oh my God.
We need a studio.
Friggin' dog. All right, so anyway, yeah, let me get back on track here. So Edge of Tomorrow looks really cool. It stars Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt. It's directed by the guy who did all this racket. Oh, crap. Why am I? No, forget it. It's the guy who did The Bourne Identity and Go and Swingers, but I can't remember his name.
Tony Gilroy.
No, that's the Michael Clayton guy. I'll let Adam tell me. Adam in the thing. Doug Liman. Thank you. Yes, he was telling me. Doug Liman. Sweet.
Thank you, sir.
I need that. Man, I'm off the rails. I was trucking, dude. What the hell happened?
It was like trying to come up with Cerebro. I was drawing a complete blank.
I'm Shiva, the god of death.
Yeah, there we go. There's Michael Clayton. But, okay, Maleficent just came out with Angelina Jolie. It's the story of Sleeping Beauty, but it's the story of Maleficent and all that. Are you interested in seeing that at all?
No.
No. Okay. Okay. I think Emma actually loves Sleeping Beauty. I remember when we got the Blu-ray, she would watch it over and over again. She loves that whole story there. But this is the story of Maleficent, the chick, the evil chick. I mean,
that curses her Sleeping
Beauty.
She
has a curse. Heather, I want a soundproof booth I do the show in, damn it. But that looks pretty cool. I don't know. Should we take Emma to see that? I don't know. What do you think, Heather?
I'm not interested.
You're not interested?
Someone else has got to take
it. Is it because you don't like Angelina Jolie, or?
I like the original story. Why do
you
have to not
want to
with it?
Well, it's an expansion. You know, you're adapting it and creating more stuff and stuff like that. Okay, this is. I have something to ask you, Steven.
Okay.
A Million Ways to Die in the West. Are we going to see that in the theater?
I was thinking of it.
You were thinking about it?
Yeah.
It might have some laughs. You know, I don't like Family Guy, but I thought Ted was really funny.
Right.
Maybe this is funny, right?
Right.
The only part in the commercial I don't think is funny at all is when he's talking to the Indians and he goes, Mila Kunis, Mila Kunis. That's not funny, is it?
It is because I guess they dated or she's in the show.
Well, yeah, she's
but
in
other
Ted.
Than that,
he dated Mila Kunis?
I think so.
But it's like a wink at the audience like, hey, I know that actress. She's been in my movies. But is it funny in the movie?
I mean, do you even know that? I mean, that's a trailer for the movie. Do you know what's actually made it in?
No, I don't. You're right. But why are they showing me that getting...
They've shown stuff in trailers that
I know,
wasn't in the real movie.
You show what you want to try to get the people to go see the movie. That makes me not want to see the movie.
Well,
it's just,
but Family Guy people, it might bring them in because he mentions, you know, her name, you know, since she does voices for him.
Right, right. I think that Tom Hanks from Maze's Monsters went to see the movie. What'd you think of it, Tom?
Like it, I remember!
Oh, he can't remember. Okay, well, we'll talk to him about that later. Oh, boy, he's got some problems, doesn't he?
Either it's just going to just be just terrible. I have a feeling it's just going to be bad. But
it's boring. It always was and it always will be.
Oh, my God, that's a bad attitude. All right, Steven, that's some movies and stuff like that. So let's check out what's on our TiVo. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Only if you approve. If you don't want to, we won't.
I approve.
All right, let's do it. All right, Steven, I have a question to ask you.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you're on the road sometimes during the week and you don't get to see stuff. Where were you this week, by the way?
I was in Kansas City.
Ah, yes, Kansas. Lovely city, right?
Yes.
Not a shithole at all.
No.
I shouldn't say that. We might have listeners in Kansas. I meant no offense
by
that.
Great barbecue.
Even better than Texas?
Pretty good.
Oh, okay. They just prepare it different, or it tastes kind of similar?
Pretty much similar, yeah. I mean, just your sauce is a little different, you know.
Didn't you take Tom with you to eat some?
I did.
What did you think of it?
Like it, I remember!
Cotty is a bad memory. What's wrong with that guy? Man, I'm going to stop asking him questions.
I fell off the diet this week going to the barbecue joints. And
oh, I can understand.
It was good.
JJ, what am I doing here?
You're there to eat barbecue. What's wrong with you? Okay, so anyway, what I was segwaying?
You gonna ride the little balancing device?
Segwaying. I've invented a new term, segwaying. That's pretty awesome. So I want to talk to you about the Will Wheaton Project.
Yes,
did you watch that on Sci-Fi?
I saw some of it. I didn't watch all of it.
You saw some of it. Your first impressions from it. Just tell me your first impressions.
It's like a cheesy Tosh ripoff.
Yeah, it's the soup. Do you remember when Chris Hardwick did the horrible web soup? Did you ever watch that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, man, it was so annoying. And this has similar problems that I thought web soup had. And actually, when I started watching it, my first reaction was, this is awful. As it went on, I started laughing at some things. And by the end, I was like, that there were some funny bits in there. This is what they could do to approve of it. My main thing is that he obviously has a studio audience, which is fine, but they're too loud, like way too loud. They're it's too intrusive. And I think, you know, you watch The Soup, don't you?
I have. I don't watch it regularly.
He doesn't have an audience, does he? It sounds like he just has the crew there and they laugh at stuff. I kind of like that. Kind of like, you know, he'll say something and you hear some guy in the background go, ah, like that or something. Like they just kind of like, it's like the, what do you call it? The bullpen, the peanut gallery, something like that. But this, I just want to play you this one clip and tell me, is the audience too loud? All right, let's check it out.
I am your host, Will Wheaton. It says so right in the title. Some of you younger viewers may know me as that guy from that poster over your aunt's bed. Aunts around the world and uncles, maybe it's time to take the poster down. It's a little weird. I can see through them. Here at the Will Wheaton Project, we are going to bring you everything science fiction, fantasy, and horror from this past week. And I do mean everything. Because who's going to stop us? Our network? They're too busy trying to figure out how to combine a shark and an earthquake.
It's not that funny.
So let's get started before they realize what they've done. Sean Ashmore, who plays Iceman, gave us an intimate look inside the mind of a mutant.
I secretly hate the little princess from the movie Frozen, who stole the idea of a hero turning things to ice. She's a little bitch.
Supposedly, Ashmore, it's an audience.
Let it go.
Well, some is real laughter, some is
I don't know. They said it's a live audience. Do you think it's canned laughter?
Some of it is.
I don't. I just thought
it's,
it was
it's
like,
over. It's over actual some laughing.
Yeah. You know, it'd be like,
because
hey,
there's no way.
Hey, Steven, it sure is a great show we're having. No interruptions so far. Yeah, it's like, it sure would be nice to do a show with that's this quality every week. It's like, I feel phony because what I'm saying isn't funny at all, and they're laughing.
Or does he actually stop think laughing. He's being funny?
Right. Good time. Oh, thank you. So, will you watch it next week?
I'll give it a shot, yeah.
Yeah, I'll watch it again.
I kind of forgot about it being on.
You know what's funny is I read Will Wheaton's blog just to see, you know, he talked about his first viewing of it with his family and he was really nervous. And he said he was just too, like, loud and, like,
he was over the top, yeah.
He was too over the top. He said that the producer kept saying, bigger, go bigger. And so when the show started, he's like, hey, woo! You know, that's like, wait a second, don't I do that at the beginning of this show?
At the beginning.
And yeah, I settled down. I can't do it the whole time. Steven, I got to talk to you about Will Wheaton Project. Why?
Yeah, the show would be 30 minutes at that length.
Yeah. Pretty funny, Steven.
I'm tired. I'm worn out from being on.
Now, Steven, have you been watching Hell's Kitchen?
Yes.
Okay. I want to talk to you about this one moment when I think her name is Jessica. She is
the little short blonde haired girl.
They did a competition where her or this other dude would be eliminated. And it was a to be continued. When it came back, Gordon was going to decide. The way she reacts to it, I thought was embarrassing. And she just needed to leave.
Right.
Do you agree with me?
Yes.
The funniest thing about it, though, is if you listen closely, you hear the guy say, because it's between a guy and her, I forget his name, but he goes, better her than me. Did he really need to say that? It's tacky. All right, let's check this out. This is embarrassing, but I thought Gordon Ramsay handled it well. You know, it's not every day that someone begs you to just stay. And it's like, that's the way it's played, the game is played, when you're voted off or whatever. When you're eliminated, you leave graciously.
Yeah, you're done.
She's not leaving graciously
at all.
Let's check this out.
This is a very, very difficult decision.
Jessica.
Yes, chef.
Highs and lows across your three dishes. But to get those three dishes out there within that time, working on your own, really good job.
Thank you, chef. This is the most important thing that I've ever done in my entire life. It's really big. It's huge. It's really big.
Richard.
Yes, chef.
Mistakes I didn't expect, but collectively, pretty good job.
Thank you, chef.
I'm not scared. No, scared of what? I'm not going anywhere. I got the most experience. There's nothing to be scared of.
Very difficult, let me tell you.
She was right, huh?
Based on the three dishes and today's performance, the evaluations, the person leaving Hell's Kitchen is... Jessica, your time is done, my darling.
Just listen to this.
It's better than me.
Can we go back in line, chef? Please. Please, chef. Please.
You did.
Please, chef. Don't
exceptionally
go.
Well.
No, please. Please, can we go back in line, please?
You were a great competitor.
No, I need to go back in line.
The lobster was way undercooked.
Please,
okay.
Let me go back in line.
And the... halibut.
Let me go back in line, please.
Was way overcooked.
Please, let me go back in line. Please, please.
I'm sorry.
I was like embarrassed for her.
You should be very proud of the work you've done.
It's so better.
It sounded like
you were a great competitor, and you must continue with that kind of attitude, the passion, and the love you have for food outside of this competition.
Please stop.
Chilling myself after this.
You're just not ready to be a head chef. Okay, please give me your jacket.
This is my dream, and it just is so crushing.
It's ruined.
I have so much passion, and I know I'm the person that is right for the job.
You should give up.
I deserve to be here. I know I do.
No, you don't. That's why you're leaving.
No.
That just happened, dude. God, this is just getting more real and real.
Whatever.
Honestly, all this crying and woo-wooing and I don't care. This is Hell's Kitchen. Like, it is what it is.
Good job, Rich.
Good job, Rich.
Whatever. Everybody on the team thought I was a weak chef. I bring more energy than some of these younger guys do. And to the guys on the team that voted me up there, you, I'm here to the end. How's it feel? How do you think it feels?
That was pretty funny, right, Steven?
Yes.
Oh, man. Get a load of that guy. Wow, what was wrong with that bitch? All right, Steven. So I want to play another clip from Hell's Kitchen, and it's a much shorter clip, but Gordon wanted them to each cook a piece of a pig, different part right. of its body. And there's a guy on the show named Jason. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
He's a real... Do you remember earlier in the season he was telling this guy, you got to be louder. You got to let your voice be heard. Come on. Let me hear you. And he was like, ah. And he goes, no, that's not you. You go, ah. And the whole camera goes... like they shake the camera. And they added a sound effect to his voice where it's like... like that. Well, this week, one guy said, man, I'm seeing double. Triple even, and all of a sudden they showed triple vision of the way, and they were like, dude, are you okay? And it was like, triple vision is like so cheesy. But this guy Jason is competing with another chick to make a piece of a pig, and I just want you to hear his reaction when he does better than the other girl, because you know it's men against women.
Yes.
Right? Alright, let's check this out. It's awesome.
Next up, pork belly.
Sandra is confident that her Asian-style pork belly will win the round and clinch the victory for the ladies.
That pork needs a touch more cooking.
But Jason has a lot of confidence in his spicy Spanish-inspired pork belly.
I think that's one of your best dishes you've cooked so far in this competition.
Thank you, chef.
Point goes to blue team.
Thank you, chef.
No question.
I knew I was going to pull this off. I am the evil pork master.
Okay, that
was pretty good, right, audience? Steven, we have a live studio audience. How awesome is this? Hey, everybody, pay $300 just to clean it.
I don't know what that means, but okay, we're back, guys. And how about we talk about the funny cooking, wacky stylings of MasterChef? Woo! All right, thank you. Okay, on MasterChef, Steven, you know, they
cut out all the pre-stuff.
Yeah, what the hell? Before, they always do the auditions where people come in like, I'm from Alabama and I cook gator. Let's meet Gordon Ramsay. They had none of that.
Yeah.
They'd already picked 30
people.
I thought
I missed it.
I know. I was too. I was like, is this the premiere? It was the premiere.
Right.
They skipped over all that. Why? Was it maybe not as entertaining as they wanted it to be?
Maybe.
Maybe they wanted to cut through all the bullshit and just get right to it.
Why not? Who cares?
Yeah. I know. It is just filler, mostly.
Do you really care that, you know...
Because they used to do, like, a two-hour premiere of MasterChef?
Yeah, who made it, who didn't. Mm-hmm. I thought it was, like, 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. They cut through all that. Maybe Fox is like, we don't need all that shit. Just get to it. 30 people, start eliminating.
Cut it down and let's go.
Because this, they already have 30 people and they're like, cook your signature dish. And
they'll cut you while you're cooking if you're crappy.
You look like you don't know what the hell you're doing. So I made a kind of a clip of different things. First of all...
I have one to bring up when you get done, but...
Okay, well, I want to talk about this one moment where a woman is cooking...
Probably the same.
And everything she cooks, she just dumps it on the floor. And she had just shit everywhere all over the floor. And people are like, does she cook like that at home? And finally, Joe's like, hey. And I have a clip of that. But one thing I was
wondering. What she says?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. The same thing.
Okay, let me play the clip of that. But also, I have to do the signature clip of when Gordon or one of the other judges.
But you notice Graham Elliott lost a lot of weight.
Yeah. Weren't you surprised they didn't mention it?
Kind of, yeah.
I figured they would have said something
you
like...
You look great!
Yeah, what like Gordon would have said, oh, you look great, very svelte, but you're still a big boy. Have a lot more pounds to lose. And he's like, go to hell! You know, but there was none of that. But they always do the thing where they say, unfortunately, it's time for you to go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no! Upstairs! Yeah, they do that. So I added one of those in there, so let's check this out. But first, we got to do the long pause acting of the... You know how they do the William Shatner? You are here to be Master Chef. It's like, could they please just hire William Shatner to host the show? Let's check this out.
Get it over with.
Welcome to the Master Chef Kitchen.
Ooh.
You are about to do battle in the biggest culinary competition anywhere in the world today. This is The Search. The best home cook in America.
One of you 30 home cooks standing here before us will become America's next Master Chef.
One of you home cooks will win $250,000.
One of you will be immortalized in the kitchens of America with your very own cookbook.
And that's not all. There's another prize.
If you act now, you get this free set of steak knives.
This trophy is the validation of one person's incredible journey from home cook to master chef. Before any of you get near that trophy, you still have to earn one of these.
What is it? A master chef apron.
Win an apron, and you are in.
Made of adamantium.
Not all of you are going to make it through the next hour.
We have a trap door at your feet.
If she could
fail, we will drop you through it.
This is not going to fly. This is disgusting. This is not how you work in restaurants.
Everyone, listen up a second.
That is
we're not
going to
tolerate disgusting working conditions. This is a kitchen.
You
we have sanitary standards. This
That's
is dangerous.
That lady
you're going to fall.
Season.
You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt me. And I'm just not going to tolerate it.
Tell him, Joe.
Here we go. I'm going home.
back to my four children in New Orleans.
Take this as a warning, because if you were in my kitchen, you'd be taking a taxi home.
Wow, I'm embarrassed, but all I know is that right now,
I'm taking a limo,
Astrid,
huh?
You've got to focus. I have to have people that clean.
Elise.
You don't.
I know how much this means to you, but my frustration, I wasn't convinced by the pies in the first round. We give you a second chance, another pie reemerges.
I don't.
I like pie.
I want this privilege to be here. I want to cook with all these amazing people.
No,
and
you
I want
can't.
To my
Sorry.
To myself and to you.
Gordon has to deal with crying.
Oh, young lady.
Stop crying. If you cry, you're out.
I'm sorry. You are not going upstairs to the balcony.
Yes, chef.
Because they are coming down to congratulate you.
No, Gordon! Aww.
No more pies.
Now, let me... Okay, I know sound editing. I know audio editing. After doing this show for nearly 10 years, I can catch some bullshit sound editing. Now, let's check this out, Steven. Just listen closely. Is this bullshit sound editing, or is this a natural sentence spoken eloquently from a woman's mouth? Okay, listen closely.
Back to my four children, the New Orleans.
Let me play.
Clipped.
Back to my four children in New Orleans.
Back to my four children in New Orleans. First of all, if you live there, you should be able to say it right. It's Nolens, New Orleans. But she, what did she say?
Back to my four children in New Orleans.
New Orleans? What the hell? So I'm going to say they were like, okay, when did she mention her kids? She probably said kids. We need to emphasize that she has four kids. Maybe she'll get sympathy from the viewers. Oh, she said it the other day. I have this tape. Let me go. He runs. Okay, here we go. Let's splice it and insert. And here we go.
Back to my four children.
No, don't bother.
Don't worry about that.
We don't need that. And you know what's funny is Tom Hanks from Mazes of Monster edited that. How did you do that?
Like it, I remember!
Oh, I can't remember. Okay. What an asshole. Okay, guys, we will be right back. We're going to take a break, and it's going to be awesome, and hopefully Steven will be back with us. I don't know. I hope you will. Steven, how much liquid have you been drinking? You're going to be in there a while. Oh, man, I got these people on the ropes with laughter, Steven.
As long as I'm not cutting, I don't want to start crying.
Wait,
it wasn't that funny.
I like that really short laughter, that.
And the uncomfortable laughing.
If we keep laughing, the show will last longer. Let's cut it short. All right, shut up, assholes. All right, guys, we'll be right back after these messages.
You can't. It's a trap.
Hey, guys, what you listening to?
Pop music.
Snap, crackle, pop music.
Can I listen to?
Sure, just pour the milk.
Snap, crackle, pop, talking just to you.
That's so sound system.
Kellogg's Rice Krispies, the talking part of this complete breakfast.
Rice Krispies is always
music to your ears.
M&M's peanut chocolate candies. You can share them. You can shake them. You can get outrageous with them.
One snack packet free and Rice Krispies.
Now Tex-Hex attacks with a new kind of evil.
Rage Star.
My Skullwalker will stomp you flat, Rage Star.
Skullwalker 3030 Brave Star and Tex-Hex Zone 7.
3030 can stand up to your evil, Tex-Hex.
I'll transform Skullwalker and attack from the air.
Use your blaster cannon to stop him, 3030. You're grounded, Tex-Hex. I'll get you for this.
Skullwalker and 3030 from the world of Brave Star. Other action figures sold separately. New from Brave Star.
This is our bus. This is our bus driver.
This is fun. Fruit corners for roll-ups.
We love a fruit roll-up.
Ew.
They make our fingers slip.
Oh.
We love the fruit roll-up.
Da, 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 da.
We love to let them rip.
Let's have more.
We are fruit and fun.
Roll the fruit.
We love the crazy big things too. We love a fruit roll-up.
Introduce
introducing the great big taste of new watermelon fruit roll-ups.
Milk it down!
Milk does body.
Milk it does a body good.
Pass it on.
Check it out.
It's so cool for hanging out.
It helps you grow up big and tall.
It's good for teeth.
And that's not all.
It does. Hey, Mr. Moo, what do you say?
Fresh Moo juice makes my day.
Milk. It does the body good.
Pass it on.
Milk, it does.
Milk, it does the body.
Milk, it does the body good.
Pass it on.
Pass it on.
I just love cookie Christmas cereal.
Taking to disaster?
Not me. I'm on a roll. It tastes like little chocolate chip cookies.
And it's a crispy part of this complete breakfast.
I know. Another white out.
If you like cookies, you'll love Cookie Crisp.
Cookie Crisp. This bar isn't normal.
The High Bounce Bar.
And now you can get one ball free in Cookie Crisp cereal. You can collect them in five dazzling colors. These High Bounce Balls
are wild.
Give me an X.
X.
Give me an O.
O.
Give me Tic Tac
Toe.
Makes me feel so hungry for my tic tac toes. They're so tasty.
Chef Boyardee.
Tic 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 tac toes.
New tic tac toes. A good hot meal. And when you get three X's or O's on your spoon, you win.
Thank goodness for Chef Boyardee.
Tic 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 tac toes.
With and without meatballs.
Yeah!
Constructs.
Not included.
Constructs. You build. Constructs. Control. Constructs. Action. Constructs.
Power Creations Constructs from Fisher Price.
Constructs.
You two gonna win, sir?
Sure. After this complete breakfast, including my Frosted Flakes, they bring out the tiger in you.
We'll turn it up, okay?
Okay. They're great.
You'll show them you're a tiger. Show them what you care. The taste of Tony's Frosted Flakes brings out the tiger in you.
What keeps away frowns, isn't for turkeys, keeps you from getting kissed, and best of all, costs no money? Stampers. There's one free, especially marked packages of Frosted Flakes.
Last time with Lucky Charms.
Oh no! Stuck up here with a whale on me rainbow and swirled whale marshmallows in me cereal.
Come on, let's get him down! Pull!
Whoa!
Yikes! Oh, we made things worse! How long can it keep bouncing?
And how long will there be swirled whale marshmallows in Lucky Charms? That's still up in the air. But you kids can help Lucky and the whale get down on boxes of Lucky Charms. Part of this nutritious breakfast.
The Disappearing Burgers with Ronald McDonald and Friends.
Wow, Hamburglar has a magic kit.
Ooh, ooh.
Ah, magic. Rubble, 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 cut camera.
I should have known you'd have something like that up your sleeve.
Rubble, rubble. All gone. All mine.
Oh, no, you don't.
Oops.
Now for a little trick.
Rubble, rubble?
We can all enjoy.
It's a good time for the great taste of McDonald's.
What's shaking?
Working out, Toucan. Sure could go for some fruit flavors.
Fruit flavors? Just follow my nose. It always knows. Kellogg's Fruit Loops. Natural orange, lemon, and cherry flavors. Plus vitamin C. Part of this complete breakfast.
Mmm, delicious, but gotta run.
Oh, no.
What's this?
A Garfield padlock. Whoa!
Wow!
To lock up your pet. There's one Garfield or Odie padlock free inside Fruit Loops.
It's Ken and new Jewel Secrets Barbie with three fabulous secrets.
We girls love lots of jewels to wear. Right, Barbie?
Jewel Secrets Barbie.
Jewel Secrets.
Wow.
Step out of that gown for a night on the town. Jewel Secrets.
Just right for a disco night.
Barbie has one more secret. Her ball gown is a purse.
Jewel Secrets Barbie doll has three dazzling looks with matching play jewels. Ken dolls sold separately. New for Mattel.
You know what happens to toys when the batteries conk out? Everything slows down.
It stops.
That's right. And your battery can conk out, too, if you don't charge up in the morning with a complete breakfast. Foods like fruit and cereal, juice, toast, and milk help give you the energy you need to do your best. So, why not charge up with a good breakfast? It'll help keep you running all morning long.
This breakfast message brought to you by Kellogg.
York! York! York!
It's thrilling.
Tingly!
Cool. When you bite into a York peppermint patty, you don't just get a chocolate bar, you get a sensation.
It's rich. Snowy! Frosty!
Want the sensation of extra frosty mint covered with extra delicious chocolate?
York! York! Sensational!
Alone with fruit chewy Newton's cookies.
Janie.
New blueberry Newtons.
I know you've got the Newtons.
New cherry Newtons, too.
And you're in the closet.
So fruit chewy.
Okay, you're not in the closet.
You want them for yourself.
Which leaves? Only one place.
Delicious Newton's cookies. Fig and apple, too. So fruit chewy. You want them for yourself.
Can we talk money? The Bisco.
You didn't think I could do that job for 1 minute. You were just trying to work a little action.
Yeah, that's right.
It's an all-new Mary, tackling a new job at a third-rate paper.
My next-door neighbor is a werewolf.
Yeah. I want it in the paper tomorrow.
The girl who turned the world on with her smile is back.
Me?
To turn it on again. Mary, premiering Wednesday, December 11th.
Sounds like fun.
What makes Eagle Snacks Hawaiian Kettle Potato Chips special? They are kettle cooked, one batch at a time, like mine.
Eagle Snacks Hawaiian Kettle Potato Chips. These lonely pound puppies need someone to love. Someone who'd love a little puppy love.
For you, Grandma.
Pound puppies are as cuddly as real puppies.
He'll keep you company in the dorm.
They're the perfect way to say, I love you. For birthdays, holidays, or any day. Pound puppies, so soft and adorably lonely. Sometimes the hardest thing about giving them.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Is giving them up.
Pound puppy, you're my one and only puppy love.
Here's Rockin' Roger, our DJ. Roger's got the blues today because he's wearing one of those diapers that leak. Well, Roger, here's a sure hit. Kleenex Huggies diapers. Huggies are form-fitting, and they're thick and absorbent with gentle, extra-wide elastic at the leg. So Huggies hug to help stop leaking and help keep babies happy. Now that Roger's wearing Huggies, things are really rockin'.
Show and tell time.
Another teddy bear?
My teddy's name is Teddy Ruxpin. He talks, he tells stories.
Full battle is not included.
Hi, my name is Teddy Ruxpin. Can you and I be friends?
Yeah.
I really enjoy talking to people. I would like you.
Teddy Ruxpin, the storytelling bear, comes with illustrated book and cassette from Worlds of Wonder.
This is Speak and Spell. It teaches kids to spell.
This is Coleco's Talking Teacher. It also teaches kids to spell.
This one's been around for a long time, and it speaks.
Well, try again.
Talking Teacher speaks, too, and so clearly.
The first letter of yes.
Talking Teacher also helps your child learn math.
Math?
Yes, math and spelling, all at a surprisingly low price.
When you make a better learning toy, it speaks for itself. Talking Teacher.
Excellent.
Am I bothering you?
Yeah, that's kind of scary, right, Steven?
I'm not scared. No, scared of what?
Oh, okay. Well, okay. I guess that guy's not scared of anything, Steven. No, no more of that. Okay, Steven, I want to talk about 24 for a moment. Have you been watching 24?
Yes.
Are you all caught up in 24?
Not this week's.
Okay, that's okay, because this was the previous episode.
Wait, that was, yeah, I watched it on Monday, yeah.
Okay, you know the evil woman, the terrorist lady?
Yes.
She was on Game of Thrones, but now she's on 24. Her son-in-law refuses to fly the drones because he doesn't want to kill all these people.
Right.
So to persuade him into doing it, she, you know, of course he's married to her daughter. She's going to bring her daughter in there and then chop off her fingers.
Right.
Let's check that out. It's awesome, right? All right.
Trying to back out is a stain on your honor, Navid. I will give you one chance to rectify that.
I've heard about evil
Tell me your pilot, the drones.
This is ridiculous.
I will murder innocents.
There are no innocents. Not when they elect murderers and collaborators like Heller and Davis to lead them.
That's nonsense. And it's time someone here stood up and said it. This is wrong. And if Simone ever got free of you, she'd see that too.
This isn't conscience. This is cowardice. If my husband were alive, he'd be sickened by you. Everything he sacrificed, everything he stood for. You will pilot the drones.
I will not. No matter what you do to me, I swear.
I believe you. Simone, come here, please.
A hardcore mom.
Whatever's necessary, my love. Do it.
Oh, there went her finger. Which
only
finger
you can
was
do that, Navid.
Index?
Again.
Okay, all right, just stop. Stop.
No, I thought it was on the
You'll
end,
do what's necessary.
Did you say little finger?
Yeah, just stop hurting me, please.
Her on Game of Thrones.
Didn't need that finger anyways.
Your mom sucks. So then the guy's like, okay, I'll do it, okay? And so he starts flying the drone, and then he goes to his... I don't know. He goes to his wife, and he's like, we're going to sneak out of here when... all right, left some kind of... encrypted data in the tape that he sent to the press. She sent to the press, basically saying, "I have control of the drones and I'm going to kill people unless my demands are met."
Right.
Well, she's like, "My son has been watching you do everything, so he knows how to fly it now. And we don't need you anymore." Did you see that? Was that in the most recent episode? I love her. He's like, he's pleading with his wife, you know, like, "Help me," or whatever. And she's just like, "Eh, can't do anything. My mom cut my finger off. Dude, you're on your own.
You think I can stop that?"
Now, I want to play a clip here of what happens in 24. If you haven't even watched any episode of 24, this moment will fill you in on everything as Jack tells the president exactly what's going on. And will the president believe him? Let's check it out. Would you believe him?
No.
It's Jack Bauer. Come on.
Jack, it's me.
Oh, hey. It's William DeBane.
I played Kennedy back in the day.
I never thought I'd have to hear your voice again. I liked it that way.
Yes, sir.
I'm told you just shot two people out in front of the embassy.
I barely grazed them, sir.
How do you know that?
Because I pulled the trigger.
And now you're holding hostages?
Kate, are you and Eric getting this?
Yeah.
I'm sure you know that there's some decisions to be made here, but before we do that, I would like to see if you and I could resolve this. So tell me, why are you here and what do you want?
Mr. President, I'm here because I believe the U.S. drone fleet is vulnerable and will be used in a terrorist attack later today.
Explain that, Jack.
A hacker by the name of Garrett Yates created an override device which can take control of as many as 10 U.S. drones. I believe he's the one who hijacked Lieutenant Tanner's drone and used it as a test flight to prove to his bias that the device worked. Shortly after that, I found him murdered. Now I believe that the device is in the hands of Margot Al-Harazi, a known terrorist. Mr. President, I promise you, she will use this device without mercy.
What are you doing in that room, Jack?
Uploading data for Lieutenant Tanner's flight key. I'm working with people who believe they can use this data to prove that the device exists. Our plan was as soon as we had the evidence, I would turn myself in and present it to you.
Who are these people you're working with?
Mr. President, I can't say. Sir, I need 15 minutes. 15 minutes and I can get you the evidence you need. And I promise I will hand myself over without incident.
Why didn't you come to me first, Jack?
Jesus, what a question.
It was your State Department that labeled me a terrorist and made me a wanted man. A man who has never even offered an opportunity to tell his side of the story, which, by the way, sir, I felt I had earned. So, no, I did not feel comfortable going to talk to your people. I knew that I had to either arrive with the device or evidence that the device existed. That would be the only way they would believe me. The only way you would believe me.
Any more
All right,
questions?
Jack, stay by this phone. I'll get back to you.
Sir, whatever differences we had, I never lied to you. I always told you the truth. I'm telling you the truth now, and I suggest you believe it.
I hear you, Jack. Could he be right? Could this Lieutenant Tanner's drone have been hijacked?
We analyzed the data on Tanner's flight key and found no evidence of that. And frankly, the drone network was designed to avoid exactly that scenario.
Well, nothing's impossible.
Blue team.
No question.
I knew I was going to pull
this off. What the hell just happened?
The evil pork master.
Oh my God, 24 just got hijacked by the evil pork master.
Okay, so I like how Jack tells the president everything. He fills him in on the entire season so far. And the president's like, should I believe him? And the guy's like, nah, couldn't happen.
Couldn't happen.
And then, you know, of course, the chick that loves Jack Bauer, she's like, well, you never know. And then her husband's like, I don't think so. And so the president's like, all right, let's not believe him. Cut off his data or whatever. It's like, damn it. No one ever believes Jack.
I never lied to you, President.
So that's 24. I've had fun watching it. I mean, it's still just as silly as it's ever been. I'm still watching Fargo. Have you tried to watch an episode?
Not yet.
It's a very dark show, but it's really good. I really dig that.
Yeah, I was waiting for an all-day playback so I can record them all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely should. Game of Thrones was off this week because of the holiday, but that comes back. I'm excited about that. I'll wait for Bill to be back first to talk about that. But it's exciting stuff. Okay. Usually Bill does the news. He does all the work in this part. So I'm going to try to do some news, Stephen.
Okay.
Do you have any stories about helicopters you'd like to read?
None. Thank goodness.
All right. I've got a couple of entertainment type stories.
I did see a car wreck today.
Oh. All right. Let's do the news, Stephen. Let's check it out. We're going to attempt the news. Let's do it. The news. Hello. That's actually a news story. All right, that is the news theme, and I'm... All right, it's already off to a bad start.
That is the news theme.
We're screwed. We're so screwed. That's already like...
Pardew, what are you doing?
Pardew? Yeah,
Pardew's doing the news. We're screwed, Stephen. We need Bill. All right. We're going to try to do the news. Wait.
A helicopter?
What was that news story we were going to do?
Like it, I remember.
I don't know. Okay, my first news story, Stephen. Okay, here we go. Okay. The plug.
Please be good news.
All right, here I'm starting. Okay, ready? The plug has been pulled on Arsenio Hall's late-night talk show for the second time.
Good news!
CBS Television Distribution, which had renewed Arsenio Hall for a second season with much fanfare in February, changed its tune. And late Friday said the season that ended May 21st would be the only one for Hall, who had a five-year run with a more successful version in 89 to 94. So they actually renewed it in February, but we're like, no.
Nope. Here's the rug. We're pulling it out from under you.
Wow. I like how they... The worst thing is when you get canceled, and then they throw in this little bit here. While there are many loyal fans of the show, The series did not grow its audience enough to continue. Ooh, so Arsenio is gone. I mean, I have nothing against Arsenio, but I did think the show was awful.
It was bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
In a related story today, Vin Diesel graduated from kindergarten.
You'll never get juicy stories like that again.
Dude, that was the funniest thing on the show because we made fun of it. You know? It's like, oh my God. Oh, Arsenio, I'm sorry.
So sorry.
I'm sorry. All right, I have another news story. And this has to do with Edgar Wright, Stephen. I don't know if you've heard about this. Have you heard about this? See, this is what's interesting.
You gotta tell me before I can tell you if I've heard about it.
No. You are okay. You are out of town all week, and right. you're busy working, mm-hmm. right? So you don't see a lot of these news stories.
Probably not.
Okay, so I've just actually opened up this story. Basically, what happened is Edgar Wright, for the longest time, we heard, could possibly direct Ant-Man, the Marvel movie right. Ant-Man. Well, this week he stepped down and he parted ways with Marvel. So there's been a lot of speculation as to why. Like, why? What's going on? Marvel, goddamn them, what did they do? And Edgar Wright's like, oh, it's cool or whatever. So it's all speculation. No one really knows. Well, this story just came out. Let me read this to you. Marvel shocked fans by announcing Edgar Wright had exited the Ant-Man movie adaptation last week. There have been rumors, no one knows, it's just made up shit, as to why he left. But now it's been revealed that he left due to rewrites he had no control over. Some people speculated that. In an announcement last week, Marvel revealed that director Edgar Wright was leaving Ant-Man's movie adaptation. Marvel and Edgar Wright jointly announced today that the studio and director have parted ways on Ant-Man due to differences in their vision of the film. A statement read, "The decision to move on is amicable and does not impact the release date." Oh, thank goodness. A new director will be announced shortly. Now, it's come to light that Edgar left the project because Marvel asked other writers to rewrite his script without any input from Edgar. Sources say Marvel had been unhappy with Wright's script for Ant-Man. The film was originally set to begin shooting the first week of June, but the production had been put on hold while Marvel's president, Kevin Feige, ordered revisions of the script. It's a weird name, okay? It was co-written by Edgar Wright and his writing partner, Joe Cornish. So that's kind of a bummer. I mean, I honestly would think he should expect that, but I don't know. I mean, you are Edgar Wright and you've directed your own films. It's kind of hard from writing your own shit that you have final say over and then all of a sudden working for a machine that is like, you know what? We could punch this up. Let's hand it off to this guy over here. It's like, whoa. No, hand it back to me. Tell me what you want or something. I don't know. I mean, Edgar Wright and Joe Cornish, that's pretty good duo there writing stuff. It says, THR reports that Edgar Wright had been more than willing to make revisions to his script earlier in pre-production, but the new rewrites took place without any of his own input. When he received Marvel's new version of the Ant-Man script, he walked.
I'm out of here.
Screw this. I probably would have done the same thing. Clearly, I wouldn't have done it at all. I would have said, okay. Clearly, he and Marvel had some differences of opinion as to where the Ant-Man script should be, but this isn't the first time a director has walked from a Marvel project.
So does he take his script with him?
No. It's a Marvel property. It's just, it's something for the bins at comic conventions for you to read, you know? Rumor suggested that Marvel may have even fired Wright, but this doesn't seem to be the case. What's so surprising is Marvel and Wright had been working on this film for years, so it's surprising that they ran into trouble just as the film was about to begin filming. More shocking than that is that Wright had been working on Ant-Man for nearly a decade. Somewhat ironically, Feige said in 2013, Wright's vision is the only reason we're making the movie. So the head honcho at Marvel said less than a year ago that the only reason Marvel was attempting Ant-Man was because of the director's vision, but their official announcement says they parted ways because of differences in their vision of the film. Yeah, that's kind of confusing. Marvel is owned by Disney, and now that they're churning out billion-dollar hits, the studio doesn't look like they want to rock the boat. Although they are really stretching their legs with Guardians of the Galaxy, which includes a machine gun-wielding raccoon. Oh, shut up. This whole paragraph isn't even necessary. But that part right there is very interesting, that like we were making it because of his vision, and now
we're parting ways because of our visions.
Differences in vision. So what do you think of that?
That's unfortunate.
It's a bummer. I mean, I was really excited. Honestly, when I heard like an Ant-Man movie, I didn't really care that much. But Edgar Wright involved made me interested.
Right.
Ant-Man is a secondary character in, like, the Avengers. A dude can shrink down to size. He's a character that's in the comic sometimes. I'm not like, oh, what's Ant-Man doing as I'm reading comic? I just don't care. But Edgar Wright doing it, he can make that shit pretty
interesting. Now it's
interesting.
Directed by McG. Just as interested?
No. But, you know, basically, it's what the part of the story where it says, but don't worry, that release
doesn't
date.
Affect our release date.
It's like, no, I am worried. Why? Who's the director? Let's go ask the director
Never
of photography to take over or something like that. Who would you get to take over? I would offer it to Joe Cornish, his writing partner, but he's not going to do it because his partner quit.
Too.
Over that. So, who could you ask?
Who would you ask?
I would offer it to the guys who just did Captain America, but they're probably busy. I would offer it to James Gunn, the Guardian of the Galaxy guy. Maybe he's done with that film and say, come on, we need you right now. Just give it to James Gunn or something like that. Now, so that's an interesting story. We'll let you know any further developments, people.
Or maybe Bill will.
Yeah. All right. I have another story. And this is an example of how the internet drives me crazy. Okay?
The internets.
Okay. First of all, you guys, we never covered it on the show because it's hard to cover sitcoms or whatever. But, okay, listen to me. I love Community. I love that show. I love every season of it except the one where they fired Dan Harmon and they had other people come in. I admired the guys and I felt for them coming into a show and trying to do what Dan Harmon did. The problem is they just tried to do more of the same. They didn't try to make it their own. And the show was a disaster that season. Dan Harmon came back. It was great. The show got canceled. My hope is for someone else to pick up Community, preferably like TBS or Netflix or something like that. Well, all of a sudden, there's this news out, and I'll read you the headline. It says, could Community be revived on Hulu? A lot of other headlines said, Hulu and Community in talks, or Sony and Hulu in talks to revive Community. That's what it says everywhere. I'm going to read you the story now, okay? Now, okay. Naturally, do you think I was excited when I read that? Like, oh, coming to Hulu? I have Hulu. I have a subscription to Hulu. That's awesome, okay? Greendale may have not closed its doors for good after all. Hulu is currently in talks with Sony Pictures for a sixth season of the recently canceled Community, a source close to the show tells EW. This is Entertainment Weekly. Deadline first reported the news. Oh, yeah, you can't take credit for it. Sony and Hulu aren't commenting, and another source stressed caution about such a deal, but proposed a plan would likely include a 13-episode new season of Community. Okay. With Dan Harmon in the fold, if by chance the agreement were reached, it would push the show past the 100 milestone, 100 episodes, and of course bring in one crucial step closer to fulfilling the fans' rally cries of six seasons in a movie. Okay? Hulu is a logical destination for a show, as it already owns the exclusive rights to Community's first five seasons. The off-network's rights belong to Comedy Central. The streaming service is committed to expanding its original programming, which currently includes The Awesomes, Deadbeat, East Los High. You watch all those, right, Steven? We all heard of those. I've heard of one of them, Deadbeat. but I haven't watched it. As well as Casey Wilson's upcoming Real Housewives parody, The Hot Wives of Orlando. We're just really excited about that, Stephen. But original episodes of Community would put Hulu Plus, with its 6 million subscribers, on the map in a bigger way. Much like the revival of Arrested Development did for Netflix. Okay? Now let me read this. Earlier this month, NBC officially cut bait on Community, whose fifth season averaged 3.8 million viewers and a 1.6 rating in the 18 to 49 demographic, including DVR playback. Harmon has kept expectations in check about the possibility of the show, which had made scoring a last-minute renewal from NBC an annual right. Finding a second life elsewhere, responding to the cancellation news on his blog, he said he was open to making more episodes. What he said was, I'm not going to be the guy who recancels canceled Community. But also noted, there are lots of reasons Community resurrection would be difficult. So be prepared for that. Okay, basically, here's my problem with the story, if you've been listening closely. There's no information at all! They gave us no information! Sony and Hulu aren't commenting. That was the part where you just should stop reading.
Right.
It's all speculation. There's no information here at all. And I hate the internet for that.
And then the writer says, hey, it would be hard to bring this back.
And what they do is the second half is like, earlier, a couple of weeks ago, NBC canceled Hulu because of these numbers. And then they go into Dan Harmon was fired and then rehired for this season and blah, blah, blah. And then at the bottom, they talk about what Dan Harmon said like a month ago about like if it was canceled or whatever. So there's no information.
Why write made up stories?
It drives me crazy, Steven. But I won't take it on you. Okay, Steven, I want to show you this picture real quick. Okay? I'm not a perv, but this is the poster to the new Sin City.
I am a perv.
That's Ava Green right there.
Yes.
She's a dame to kill for.
Mm-hmm.
See how you can see through her nightgown and
uh-huh.
you see her
mm-hmm.
bosoms?
Yes.
And, well, some people are saying that Ava Green is too hot for the MPAA studio reworking risque Sin City Dame to Kill For poster. Oh, dear. According to Deadline, a poster for the upcoming sequel featuring Ava Green wasn't approved by the MPAA for nudity. Curve of under the breast and dark nipple areola circle visible through the sheer gown. What? I don't see no areola. Do you see it? I don't see it. It's your imagination. I guess it's really faint. And if I stare ever so carefully...
I'll need a few minutes with this, please. But I did see that poster. Very nice.
Okay, this is my favorite part of the story. Though they declined to comment, Dimension Films did confirm to Deadline that the poster was being reworked prior to the film's August 22nd opening. This process is nothing new for the MPAA, who meet with film executives to approve all... Basically, they don't let anyone have any fun! But my favorite part of the story is that, yeah, we're going to rework it. This has been fantastic, getting people talking
right.
about Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. And I am quite, I feel this kind of a calmness when staring at him, kind of like I'm being hypnotized.
Are you titillated?
Oh, Steven, that was a good one. Wait, say that again. Are you titillated? Say that.
Are you titillated?
Good times. Oh, wow. That was a good one. That's my news story, Steven. What did you think? Did I do a pretty good job?
That's the news. At least there was no crashed helicopter.
That's news, and I am out of here. Hello. All right. Well, now it's time to do some DVDs, and this is going to be really... Holy shit. I can't stop looking at this picture. That is like a great movie poster. Do you think my wife would mind and go, yeah, I'm a big fan of Sin City. We're going to hang this on the wall. What's the big deal? I don't understand. Why are you looking at me like that?
Why is it hanging on the back of the bathroom door?
You weren't supposed to notice that. I figured if it was hung back there, nobody would see it.
I would hang my towel over it.
Oh, what? No. Hopefully this is bullshit. Okay, breaking story, Steven. Adam McKay in talks to direct Ant-Man. Oh, no. You know who Adam McKay is, don't you? Do you know who he is, Steven?
No, I sure don't.
What? Adam McKay directed such films as Anchorman.
Oh.
This has to be bullshit. Okay, here we go. This is from Ain't It Cool News, one of my favorite sites. Harry Knowles,
and we know he
knows. God of knowledge. Jeremy here, I have no idea who that is. It was only this morning that Hollywood Reporter revealed the three finalists in Marvel Studios' search for the new Ant-Man director. This evening, I'm being told that Adam McKay is in talks with Marvel to replace Edgar Wright behind the camera.
Oh, he's in talks.
Yeah. Marvel made the offer this afternoon. He's in talks right after Hulu and Sony get out of that boardroom. Marvel made this offer this afternoon, and given that Marvel wants to keep its July 17th release date, both sides are expected. This is July 2015, by the way. Both sides are expected to quickly work out a deal. While I have no reason to doubt Marvel had multiple options on the table, I'm told they did not meet with Ruben Fleischer and Ross and Marshall Thurber. I have no idea who those guys are. I'm still gathering details, but I'm betting McKay's familiarity with Ant-Man star Paul Rudd played a significant role in this hiring. I will always be disappointed Edgar Wright didn't get to bring his vision to the screen, but McKay feels like the best possible replacement. All of the set pieces are pre-visualized, so his primary responsibility will be addressing the character story elements Marvel didn't like in the screenplay Wright wrote with Joe Cornish. With the exception of the intermittently hilarious Anchorman 2, I love all of McKay's movies. Here's hoping he can salvage this unfortunate... What the hell is this guy talking about? That's a horrible... Oh, he also directed The Other Guys.
Also not funny.
Oh, boy. Oh, dude, please. I'm hoping... Let's just cancel Ant-Man. Can we just let it go?
Please.
It's not a property anyone wants to see other than that Edgar Wright was directing it. I'm really just like...
Can we start a petition to stop Ant-Man?
Yeah. No more Ant-Man. No more Ant-Man. No.
Without Edgar Wright.
Yeah. Ooh.
It's okay. Edgar will write his own thing. It'll be much
better.
Dude,
here's what I want Edgar Wright to do. And I want Joe Cornish to do it also. I mean, if they're co-writers. Or even involve Simon Pegg. I want you guys to come up with your own original superhero. Do the craziest superhero story you can think of. Just do your own thing. And I want Marvel to sit there and watch it. And go, oh, shit, maybe we shouldn't have fired him, you know?
Yeah.
What were we thinking? Let's look at our Adam McKay. Man. Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mistake. What is Will Ferrell doing in Ant-Man?
What are you doing?
I really just... I think it's a mistake. I can understand what they're doing. I've read also a lot of people turning on Marvel. Screw Marvel! I'm not like that. This is how it works working with a big studio. I honestly can understand Edgar Wright. Hey, if you didn't feel comfortable with it, take off. Yeah. You know, just take off, hoser.
I have absolute authority in this game.
Yeah. I'm taking my ball. No, that's not how I feel about Edgar Wright. It just felt like the right thing to say at the time. You know what, Steven? I'm going to direct Ant-Man. What do you think?
Why not?
You can't. It's a trap.
Oh, shit. All right, Steven, you ready to do some DVDs?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do some DVDs. Ow!
Let's do some DVDs. HD Blu-ray standard definition.
DVDs. Oh hell yeah, the DVDs, everybody. Yeah, DVDs, mofos. Woohoo! Yeah, I'm delaying, Steven. I don't know what I'm gonna do.
Ah!
Be a wobble. yeah, that's our DVD announcer guy type thing stuff. Okay, here we go. DVDs for shit.
June 3rd something.
Let's see when it's.
Pull out your calendar.
Where is Bill?
Bill, we need help.
He's only been doing this for 9 years. This is the first time I've ever attempted to do DVDs.
June 6th.
June 6th? Today's the 30th. It would be June 3rd.
June 3rd.
DVDs for June 3rd, 2014. All right, here we go. And I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. Let me just pick and choose. Okay, the first film that's coming out, Steven, great horror classic on Blu-ray. There's no order to this at all.
Not alphabetical. Like
Sleepaway Camp.
Beautiful. Fantastic. Sleepaway Camp.
I don't know if anyone has seen Sleepaway Camp who's listening right now, but it's a horror movie. Takes place in a sleepaway camp. Someone's killing people.
Right.
And there's a shocking ending of the movie.
Is it the one I think?
Yes.
The bad male to female?
You just spoiled it!
Male to female? You don't know what I'm saying.
You're spoiling it! Okay, no. You're right. You didn't spoil anything. But I will give you a hint at who the killer is, okay? This is the all you get.
Hi.
Okay, that's it. That's all you get. Okay, the next movie is Red River, a film by Howard Hawks starring John Wayne and Montgomery Clift. Steven, huh? Have you seen that?
No.
Neither have I. It's an old movie. Oh, check this out. How about the Criterion Blu-ray of The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou?
Yes, I do love this movie.
You do love it. It's got covers of Bowie songs in it, too, right?
Yes, but they're done in Portuguese.
Mm-hmm. Wes Anderson film, Bill Murray. I have to admit to you something. The first time I watched it, I was kind of like, what the hell did I just watch? It took multiple viewings to really get into it for me, but I do think it's a really good film.
The strange thing is I watched this the first time on my laptop in an airport. And I was enthralled with it the whole time. I was like,
"You watch it on a laptop?
Yeah.
Really? Wow."
In a tiny and little screen. I couldn't wait to watch it on my big screen when I got home.
Well, what do you think of that underwater sequence at the end when they're looking at that fish?
I think all of it's great. I mean, the Wes. I just love Wes's films. I told you I went and saw the Grand Budapest mm-hmm. Hotel. I just like his style. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's very cool. I assume on the disc it's a Criterion. It must have all sorts of extra stuff.
Yeah.
And I hope Bill's not like rolling his eyes like, oh my God, what is he doing? Here's a clip from the movie.
To blow Nessie out of the water.
No, that's a wrong one. God, come on. Jesus, Foggy. You at least help me out here, okay? Jesus. H. No, but it's got a
great cast.
Okay, there we go. Okay, our next film, Steven, is called Death Spa, and it's unrated. The tagline is, "You'll sweat blood." You know what's funny is I've actually seen this cover before. It was on the back of my issue of Cinema Fantastique magazine, like way back in the day, like on VHS. But,
you never saw it? Never rented it?
No.
You didn't wait in a VHS, you know, a Blockbuster?
I was waiting for you to watch it. All I know is this. The guy, the actor who played Captain Kirk's son in Search for Spock or Wrath of Khan, he's the star of the movie. So that's cool. I have no idea what his name is. All right. So, Steven, adventure in space and time, some kind of Doctor Who shit is coming up. Doctor Who, an adventure in space and time. Woohoo! 50th anniversary thing. Awesome.
The best of, probably.
Doctor, right? Bill,
don't have any Doctor
help me.
Who.
Is there a doctor in the house?
No, there's not. Okay. Oh, the remake of Endless Love, huh?
Boo.
Boo on remakes. Boo. They should have said it in space. If you're going to remake something,
Endless
set it in space.
Space love.
Endless space love. Weightless space love. Yeah. Ooh. And it doesn't have... I wonder, did they do a cover of the song? The My Endless Love song?
I would hope they would.
The Lionel Richie, you know, get somebody else, like one of those, what's that
Richard
boy man?
Marks.
Why would you remake it?
I don't know. First thing that popped in my head.
Richard Marks, yes. Get Richard Marks to do the new cover of Endless Love. Okay, you know, if you say so. That's, Steven, you should run a studio. Richard Marks or no one else. Why is he saying this? I'm walking.
I want the worst possible movie ever.
Edgar Wright walks off of Endless Love when studio demands Richard Marks do new Endless Love cover. Holy shit. I don't think it's going to happen.
It should.
I know. You're right. Oh, that's genius.
JJ, what am I doing here?
I don't know. So anyway, watch that Endless Love remake. Okay.
That's it. No more.
Oh. Okay. Here we go. Man, I suck at this. I just want you guys to know Bill does a great job doing the DVDs. All right? How about the RoboCop remake, huh? Did you see that?
No.
I saw it with Heather.
Bad ish.
Bill and I talk about it on the show, and I think Baby has a June bug. Gross. and she's rolling around on it. Dogs are gross. So I didn't think it was bad. It's just a lot of things they're trying to do in the movie. They're trying to make it a commentary, social commentary. At the same time. Badass action movie at the same time character study. There's just too many things going on there. I didn't mind. I really like the guy that got to play the new RoboCop. Gary Oldman, of course, is awesome, but I'm gonna do the cliche. It's not a perfect film. Can't believe I said
it's not
that.
The original film.
No, that's another thing. Don't remake RoboCop.
It was perfect.
The first film, I'm going to go ahead and use this word. I don't throw it around often. Maybe I do. I don't know. Someone pointed out to me if I do. It's a goddamn masterpiece. No, I'm being serious. Okay. Lone Survivor comes out on Blu-ray, Steven. That is the film. It's a true story.
Right.
Of the dudes. And they're like, get all shot and stuff.
Yeah.
Starring Mark Wahlberg, Taylor Kitsch, that one guy. Oh,
and
shit.
That other dude.
Yeah. Oh, man. Come on, Steven.
I just vaguely remember
Ben
this.
Foster.
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
Yeah, that movie. Okay.
That other dude.
All right, so Lone Survivor, very good film, directed by Peter Berg. Should watch it. It's heavy shit.
Oh, Peter Berg.
Expect to cry. Expect to be squeezing the armrest of your chair, that kind of thing.
Is it gut-wrenching?
It's gut-wrenching. It's got some action sequences and stuff.
You're bad at this.
Come on!
Shh, don't tell anyone.
All right, here we go. I don't know why I keep doing that. There we go. All right. Here we go. Next Blu-ray, Steven. What are you, friggin' Mr. Miyagi? What the hell? Okay. The Outsiders on Blu-ray. Directed by Francis Ford Coppola. Directed a long time ago. What do you think? That's a great movie.
It's a good movie. I enjoyed it.
Good stuff. It's pretty good. Greasers and Socias, Steven.
Cherry.
Yeah, Cherry Forever. Is that her name?
No. That's Pee-wee. Porky's.
Porky's. Oh, my God. Porky's. We totally need to do a Nim movie mini of Porky's. That's a movie I saw way too many times as a kid, and it's, like, so inappropriate. But, okay,
you know,
yes.
We need
it. Dude, when is Porky's coming out on Blu-ray? I need Bill to look this up for us. All right, next film. Outsiders, great movie. Pick it up. All right, The Man with No Name trilogy on Blu-ray. Bill would have the details of this. I suck. I don't know why I'm even doing this. Those films are, of course, directed by Sergio Leone, starring Clint Eastwood as Man with No Name. They're awesome. Yojimbo remake, all that stuff.
You figure after three movies, they'd give him a name.
Yeah, I know. Like, my name is Randy.
Could be.
No, Kevin.
No, Johnny.
Johnny. No. No. Stanley.
All right, no name.
My name is Stanley. No, I got it.
Norman.
My name is Herman. Any kind of breeds creepy? That'd be pretty cool.
I need my asthma inhaler.
Ravenous on Blu-ray. Now, do you remember this movie starring Robert Carlyle? He's a cannibal.
Yes. And he gains power through eating people.
Well, he's like, it's kind of that whole idea when you kill something you hunt and you eat its heart, you gain their wisdom or power or whatever. Yeah. He believes in that. And I think he does gain some kind of super strength. It's not like I'm totally misrepresenting the movie. It's a strange freaking movie.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say I kind of liked it. It's so bizarre. You enjoy it. And you think, I don't want to watch a movie about Robert Carlyle eating people. It's not real graphic like that. It's mostly kind of funny. A comedy. It's not a comedy. It's a weird movie.
It's dark humor in it.
Yes, kind it's of. Very dark humor. I don't know how else to explain it.
Watch it.
I'm just at a loss for words.
All right, we want Rick to watch it and tell us about it next week.
Oh, Ravenous. Yeah. That's a good one. Rick, watch Ravenous with Robert Carlyle. Okay?
And tell us what you think. I was going to have him do Videodrome, but...
Oh, my God.
Come on. That would be perfect. That's a weird effing movie.
Yeah. Okay. Ravenous was 1999, directed by Antonia Bird. Starring Guy Pearce, Robert Carlyle, David Arquette, Jeremy Davies, Jeffrey Jones, Neil McDonough. It's got a great cast. It's a strange movie, man. But I definitely recommend it. Just as a strange watch. Okay, Steven, you should love this. The Birdcage, coming out on Blu-ray. Nathan Lane. Come on, good stuff, right?
Yes.
Great movie,
fantastic movie.
I'm going to shock you. I've never seen The Birdcage.
I have, so I won't shock you.
You've seen The Birdcage?
Yes, I have.
The last season of True Blood comes out on Blu-ray. Did you watch it?
No.
Did you lose interest in True Blood a long time ago?
Yes.
Yeah.
About three seasons ago?
It was pretty, like, I watched it with Heather, and I just watched it with her, but I was just, like, annoyed or just, I was barely interested. And this is the final season coming out.
That's what, the first two seasons were watchable, or, you know, were good. And then, like, it started falling off and getting weird after the third season.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, have you ever seen Alexander with Colin Farrell, directed by Ollie Stone?
No.
You've never seen that?
Uh-uh.
Neither have I. Okay. That's coming out on Blu-ray. The Nutty Professor, the original. Aw, man, I want the one with Professor Clump. Get that. Was that Jerry Lewis or something? Boo. Clumps. Hercules. What is Attack on Titan, Steven?
No clue.
You don't know
Attack
what Attack
on Titan. Attack? I don't remember it.
Attack on Titan. It is a...
foreign movie.
It's a TV series called... by Shingeki no Kyojin. All right. Well, I'm going to move
on. That's the original title of the show.
Yeah. The Ringer on Blu-ray.
Yeah, the Johnny Knoxville.
Are you serious? Is that the movie? The Ringer? Johnny Knoxville, Katherine Heigl. Oh, my God!
When he plays pretends to be retarded to try and...
We have a drop from that movie, Foggy.
Oh, my Lanta.
It got resurrected. All right.
Yeah, dumb movies. I can tell you that who's in it.
Oh, man. This has been a nightmare. What? Maybe we should just... There's something called Cheap Thrills, starring Ethan Embry, David Koechner, and Pat Healy.
I like David Koechner.
He's a crazy dude. Cheap Thrills. What doesn't kill you makes you richer. Have you ever heard of this?
Never heard of it.
Okay. A scheming couple put a struggling family man and his old friend through a series of increasingly twisted dares over the course of an evening at a local bar. A 6.9 rating on IMDb. I'm going to skip it. What about you, Steven? You going to go see that?
I'll wait for it to come on the old cable there.
From Stephen Chow, director of Kung Fu Hustle, is Journey to the West.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I bet that's going to be awesome. Okay, I'm out
Back
of steam, Steven.
How did we start?
I just want to say to Bill that you kick ass at DVDs.
And news.
Was I horrible, Steven? Was I passable?
Passable.
Hey, come on. I was better than that. Come on. What do you think, Tom?
JJ, what am I doing here?
Oh, come on, little guy. There's nothing to be upset about. What did you think?
It's boring. It always was and it always will be.
Man, it's brutal. All right, guys, that was the DVDs this week. I know it was terrible. Bill will be back next time. Just give me a free pass, okay? All right, let's just get out of here as fast as we can.
We'll have to prepare better next time.
Like it, I remember.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And
guy, but I'm gonna say just check out RoboCop. I mean, it's interesting enough to see it. It doesn't mean you're gonna love it. Definitely not gonna love it as much as the real RoboCop. Yeah, that's right. I said the real RoboCop.
Yes. If there wasn't a real RoboCop, what would you think of this one?
An interesting failure. I mean, it's not like fantastic or anything. It's just kind of a big mess. My main problem also is that Michael Keaton isn't really a bad guy. He runs a company. And he's kind of a jerk, but they try to turn him into the villain at the end of the movie because they need a villain. There's not like a Clarence Boddicker in the movie. There's no Clarence Boddicker. And you
it's
need
It's not
that.
A RoboCop without
Cobra
a
assault cannon, state of the art, bang bang.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, you also need that. I mean, come on. Well, everyone, that was our show, episode 291 of Entertainment Landfill. I want to thank you for listening. Once again, I want to wish Bill a speedy recovery, and I really hope that he feels better. He is in our thoughts. He's our buddy. We can't wait to talk to him again about the meaningless things we talk about on the show that we love so much. Film, television, and pop culture. I really hope he sees X-Men. I want to talk about that with him. Because so many people like shitting on the, well, actually, in the comic book, that didn't happen. Because now they messed up the continuity. It's like, dude, the continuity in the X-Men movies is irretrievably screwed. They made a watchable, entertaining film. Don't worry about the paradox of the film, right?
I said, yeah.
Really, if you think about it enough, I think my brain did hurt. Like, I started trying to think of the time travel element.
Paradox.
If you start thinking about the time travel element of, like, Terminator, it'll give you a headache.
Any of them. Any of the time travel movies will create the paradox of the time travel paradox.
But you don't understand.
If you go back in time to do this, then you're not going to be where you are in the future to create time travel, blah, blah, blah.
Right, right. Exactly. So just sit back, let the movie come to you.
You just have to do it. Think about it like in the Back to the Future, where he shows where it skews from the 1955 timeline.
Well, you know what? Another thing I liked about X-Men, now that I think about it, how many of these movies do you see where the bad guys are unstoppable like that? You know they're screwed. They can't beat them. They just have to be tricky and sneaky to survive. I thought that was a pretty cool element, and it's kind of scary, too. They're just screwed. All I can do is delay them for a while, but they can't win. And I thought that was that's something you don't see a lot.
Right.
And I really liked it. I dug X-Men.
Good flick.
Go
see it.
If you would like to kind of... I'm trying to think of how I'm going to do this. Go to entertainmentlandfill.com. There you'll find a link to our vault of all of our shows from the past, episode 1 through 290. Also, if you'd like to check us out on Twitter, you'll find our handles on Twitter. I'm the JStrom on Twitter. Steven, you're PCZ Steven.
I tweet all the time like mad.
And Mulberry Bill on Twitter. Also, we have an ET Landfill on Twitter. If you want to check out our favorite place to hang out is on Facebook. We have our group on there for Entertainment Landfill. If you haven't joined us there, what are you waiting for? It's awesome. We talk about stuff. We post stuff. I'm really selling it, aren't I? We post, you know, YouTube videos or whatever, new trailers. We talk about stuff. We just have fun. If you dig the show, hopefully you'll dig that.
You can post things that you're interested in. Maybe we'll comment.
Yeah. Steven, I know you will comment. You comment about everything, right? Steven, you got to calm down with this comment.
Tone it down.
Quit liking everything on Facebook. Like. Quit challenge me to that ninja game on there. Whatever happened to that?
I don't play any games anymore on there.
What was that, though? The ninja game? Wasn't there a ninja game?
No.
There's a zombie game. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Where your zombie would bite me and you could bite back.
No, I never played that one.
No, you did. Remember there's a game where you could be a zombie. Your zombie bit me or something.
No, was it?
Yes.
I promise you.
I'm not making that up. Yes. Back in the early days of Facebook, there was some zombie.
I played the stupid Farmville 1 and 2.
There was a zombie game where you had your own zombie.
No.
And it would say, Steven Zombie has bit... This is Bill, can you help me out here? Are you listening anymore?
I promise you, I didn't do that.
Yes, you did! Oh, my God! Okay, we'll get to the bottom of this later. I wish Bill was here to help me. Yes, there was a zombie game where you could say, Steven Zombie bit you, kind of a thing. You don't remember that?
No.
Seriously?
Seriously, I don't think... It wasn't me. I didn't do
what
it.
What the...
I remember the games that I played.
No, you don't, obviously. You don't remember, because yes, you did.
I don't remember that one at all.
Why can't I remember? I don't know. Just like freaking Tom Hanks, you can't remember. Why?
You don't have enough points. I am the maze controller.
Oh, you don't have enough points to remember.
Don't have enough points.
But if you'd like to call and leave a voicemail, call 1206.
Or correct me.
309-4729. It is an active voicemail. It hasn't gone dead yet because I left a voicemail to myself saying, hey, renewing the voicemail. Won't go away. Also, send us an email at ninpodcast@gmail.com.
And if I bit you as a zombie on Facebook, I'm sorry.
Yes, you should apologize for all the zombie attacks, Steven. How dare you? I can't believe you don't remember. I
don't remember that.
Oh my gosh. Great. Some high production values there. Don't you think?
Yes.
Wow. It's killing me that I can't remember
that. That's funny.
I know that you're going to go, oh, yeah.
It's like zombies.
Okay, guys, I want you to remember to check out our new campaign we're launching very soon. And the reason I'm not launching it tonight is because a YouTube video is involved and I haven't created it yet. But if you want that Lethal Weapon episode, when it hits the feed, listen to that. It'll have all the details. I want to thank everyone for listening to the show and supporting us over the years just by listening. The fact that you download the show and enjoy it is awesome. And I want to thank you for checking us out. And hopefully the DVD segment doesn't make you stop listening forever. Bill will be back, and he does a great job. I did a horrible job. And I want to apologize from the bottom of my heart. I'm just sorry. I should have known better.
You can't. It's a trap.
Yeah, I know. It was a trap. I fell right into it, Steven. Why didn't you tell me to stop?
I remember I did the news the very first episode. How hard is it?
I think I did better with the news.
Well, I'm just saying, it's harder than you think, isn't it?
It is.
There you go. That's all I was doing.
What are you doing?
I didn't say you did as bad as I did. No one can do as bad as I did.
Okay. Just for shits and giggles, Steven.
Don't play it. Don't.
Come on.
Oh, here we go. No.
I don't think.
Helicopter.
Oh, there's a helicopter.
I wonder what's going to happen.
A rescue helicopter has crashed.
So terrible.
This is, again, going back to the, say, looks like a Coast Guard type.
Wow. Where's painful.
That was the very
I did that voice.
First show. Number one. Episode number one. And that gag has lasted forever. I'm proud of that. That was 2005.
And I had the Predator snort at the end.
I think that was added in post.
Did you?
Yeah. But that's awesome. Steven, thank you for doing the show with me tonight. Sans Bill, it was awesome. I had a lot of fun. I at times wondered what I was doing here, much like Tom.
JJ, what am I doing here?
He calls me JJ for some reason.
Jason, JJ.
Yeah, actually, my second name is John, Jason John, so that makes sense. Hey, why aren't I called JJ? I could totally go by that, like JJ Walker, Dynamite.
JJ Wallstrom.
No, that would not work. I don't think that, but it'd be
good. Be fit.
But I hope Bill feels a lot better. We love him. He's our bro. Hope he is back on the next show. All right, everyone, that's our show. We'll see you next time. Keep an eye out for our new campaign, and we'll see you next time. Good night.
Good night.
Later, Steven.
Later.
I'm showing you the door.
Enough points. I am the maze controller.
Now this is podcasting.
I'm not scared. No, scared of what?
Explain that, Jack.
Like it, I remember.
That's a joke, right?
JJ, what am I doing here?
Stay by this phone. I'll get back to you.
Pardue, what are you doing?
Why are you here and what do you want?
You, I'm here to the end.